to the show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Off the Mats Podcast. And it's me, it's Dante. And my guest this week, so some of y'all may have noticed I've been kind of recording with my teammates and coaches over there at Crazy 88 MMA. This is no different. We're going to do that again. So for this episode, I want to welcome to the show Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Black Belt. Badass. And talking pre-show and having a good time. Pretty fucking funny guy, Mr. Chris Tran. Welcome to the show, Chris. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks
for
having
me around more often if you're going to hype me up like that.
Dude, like, that's always the weakest part of the show for me. It's like, shit, like, I got to introduce the people. I didn't even fucking, I got all the other notes except for the intro notes.
Oh, man, you got to have those Bruce Buffer cards so that you have, like, each of the titles, you got each of the accolades, everything.
If I get Bruce Buffer cards, I want the Bruce Buffer blazers just come in these sharp-ass shoots.
Well, that's on you. You can definitely bring that to the set, and, like, everyone's going to feel a little bit lower than you, but that would definitely bring some class to this podcast.
That's kind of whole like ideal of the show. Like, just come sit down. Like, sit down, peons. Look at my flashy suit. But no, thank you for coming out and doing this. Like, that was kind of the thing to me is like when I asked you to be on, I was like, you know, how do you want to do this? Do you want to do remote? You want me to come to you? You want to come here? You're like, I'll come to you. I was like, perfect. Because I don't have to like disassemble and then we can just sit down and jump right into it. Whereas, you know, we do it remote, it's fine. It's just, it might sound weird, like the audio gets goofy, but here you are, and you know, glad to have you. So, as we talked before, super conversational, I got some questions. I got some jiu-jitsu questions. I just want to know your story.
Sounds good. Origin story.
Yes. This is like comic. I think of everyone's episode like a comic book. Like, so when was their first appearance? Like, they first appeared on episode, like, 206. Like, oh, okay, all right. And then you have another episode later on where it's like, oh, no. Like, this is the origin episode. Like, we got them appeared once, and now we're going to find out the dark secret. They went to the theater, and he had to leave early. And his parents were like, let's go. And then he got shot. And then he became Batman. Fucking weird. But I guess the first thing I always ask everyone, especially in the jiu-jitsu community, is like, Why jiu-jitsu?
So, honestly, it was my brother-in-law who got basically my entire family into it. I think his, I guess, like, little inception, but, like, I think his origin story was that he saw, like, the UFC, and then he saw the early ones, and obviously, like, with Royce Gracie being smaller than a lot of his opponents and still being able to beat them up. For anyone that can't see us, me and my brother-in-law are very, very tiny people. So to have someone like Royce Gracie, who is smaller than all these people and can beat up bigger people, that's an awesome little concept for us. Like, it's definitely transferable if we train and all sorts of that. So he ended up finding Crazy 88, I think back in 07. Mm. And he eventually got super obsessed with it. He got my sister into it, and then eventually they brought me into it.
Of course, that's always like, hey, come try this thing that we're doing. What is it? Here, let me see your wrist. It's called a wrist lock.
So yeah, at the time I went from like doing taekwondo and stuff with my dad until I was like 12 years old, and then I started just kind of fell out of love with it, and I was becoming a teenager. That was probably part of like teenage rebellion and whatnot.
Of course.
And then I also was like getting shown all this UFC stuff from Dave, and I was like, oh, that's super cool. And so obviously, like every knucklehead teenager and or young gun, I was like, I should probably try to do that. And so I started like trying to figure out what like the plan was, and I don't know how. This, you know, I was a knucklehead at the time. Obviously, this was a well thought out plan, but I was like, I should start judo. So somehow my mom found online Sensei Edwin Takamori, who was teaching judo at the Naval Academy, as well as like a rec center somewhere in Montgomery County. And I think he literally lived like a mile away from our house. And so like we went to talk with him, and I got started in judo at the Naval Academy. That was pretty cool. My dad used to drive me to the Naval Academy to the base and like actually start learning judo. And like, it was a small club, but we still had a couple people rolling through, and I still did judo for a little bit. But anyway, so at the time, my sister had just started jiu-jitsu. I had started judo, and she was like, hey, you know, they're pretty hand in hand. Like, honestly, you should come through and try it out, because, you know, I know we don't do necessarily as much stand up, but still the groundwork is part of judo. So this is only going to help your groundwork. You're just basically getting an additional training, and there's not going to be any harm in that. And I was like, you make a lot of sense, big sister.
So you're out there just collecting martial arts, like infinity stones, basically. I was like, all right, we got taekwondo. Let's do some judo. Let's grab some jiu-jitsu. Is there anything else? Well, there's six stones.
It's like, all right, let's keep at it. Let's see what we got.
All right, good. And when you went into jiu-jitsu, like, what were your like first impressions of that just in itself? Because, you know, already having, you know, again, taekwondo in your pocket and doing some judo, it's like, okay, you know, you would think like, oh, it can't be that much more different in terms of like just kind of coming out and doing something already. But, you know, what was your, you know, first impression just going out there into the classes and really acclimating?
Man, honestly, so I guess this makes me sound old, but it's so long ago that I don't even quite remember my first impressions. I do remember, I think, my first class and the impressions of that first class, where I'm like a tiny, scrawny teenager and I'm walking in. And at the time, Crazy 88 had like no teens classes, but they had tiny, tiny kids classes, I think like 8 and under or something. And I was 13, so I'm definitely not fitting there. So I'm just jumping right into the adult class. So I'm walking into a class with a group of like large men who I don't know. And the goal eventually is to start like taking each other down, strangling each other, and trying to break each other's joints. And I'm like, all right, this is a little intense.
Like, you look at him, it's like, all right.
I'm like, I gotta fight that guy?
Like, that doesn't seem feasible, but I'm here. I signed a waiver. Let's go.
But yeah, it was, I mean, I definitely had a lot of fun because I stuck around with it. I think it was a little bit of a weird shock to me, actually, that I came in with all these like huge, intimidating guys, but then as soon as like you start talking to any of them, they're like some of the most friendly, personable like people that you could ever talk to. And you're like, what are you doing? Is this a trick?
I actually brought that up to my wife yesterday because we were talking about just people's impressions of not just like jiu-jitsu, but like martial artists, MMA. Her friend has made comments about jiu-jitsu in the past. And it's like, no, oh, those guys just want to, all they want to do is fight people. I was like, what? Like,
it's only
no.
Half of it.
It's like, I want to fight my friends. Like, I don't want to fight just random people. I want to go fight people I trust. And like, I know if they get, you know, an arm bar, they'll let go. Like, some random stranger on the street get an arm bar, I'm thinking, I bit off more than I could chew. Like, why has he got me an arm bar? But, you know, one of the things that we're talking about with that was that, you know, that impression is way off. It's like, if she sat down and talked with any of us at any point, I mean, she talked with me, but I think from her perspective, it's like, well, I've known you like a very long time. So, you know, you're you. And it's like, yeah, but if you talk to any of my teammates, like some of these folks are just so, not just some, like all of them are like just, you know, sweethearts. It's like, you know, they're going to look out for you. They're going to help you. You know, your old lady crossing the street, some of them might help you. Like, I know a few that won't. She's like, like, she'd be all right. She got to learn on her own. So as far as like your life away from the mat, like, how does like, you know, your training and the mindset from training in martial arts kind of carry over into your everyday life?
So I think honestly, that's kind of been more reflective for the past couple years. with my jiu-jitsu and with my life, I've just been trying to be like very, very consistent about things. Jiu-jitsu right now for me is, it's, I don't want to say routine, but it is routine for me in the sense that like, oh, it's just something that I do like almost every day. It's just something, it's like, it's literally, I think, the same thing to me as like brushing your teeth in the morning. You're like, oh, it's just something you do. You know, I go to practice at night. And that's one of the things too, like, okay, I do my strength conditioning 3 days a week. I do my running 2 or 3 days a week if I can get it. So it's like routine because I want that to be like a nice little part of my schedule. And that way it's regular. I'm not stressed about like, oh man, I got to go to jiu-jitsu because like I have this tournament coming up. It's like, no, I was already going. We just might have to turn up the intensity a little bit, but I was already doing this. Like, this is the same thing. We're just going to keep doing our thing until the tournament rolls up.
And what is it? Donahue and Gordon Ryan, all those folks, they train 7 days, 7 days a week, no days off. Like,
I might need a little adjustment on that. But I still get in, I usually get in 6 days a week. I mix in like my strength conditioning and my my running in, and then 7 days, a little bit of a stretch. Even if I'm doing like the 7 days, it's not the same intensity as like a hard class in like the middle of the week when we're like mostly sparring or something. It might be something a little bit more loose, like, okay, we're drilling like this specific sequence, or like, all right, let me break down like what's going on here, and then we can try to figure it out, and then we can like drill through this lightly to make sure that we kind of have all the like mechanics of everything down.
That makes sense. Like, when I think about I don't even know what they're called anymore. Like, I don't know what their group team is called anymore. I think, you know, Craig Jones and them are the B squad.
Oh,
the
B team. Yeah.
And then I can't remember what Donahue's group is called now, but whatever it is. I think about that, though, when they talk about training 7 days per week. It's like, you mean like intense jiu-jitsu per week, 7 days per week? Or are you talking about like, you know, you might do jiu-jitsu 5 days and then you might do some strength training or some cardio some other days? Like, I need details. And, you know, I'm sure a quick Google search would give me that answer. But, you know, maybe not, because Google be kind of, you know, Google don't be trying to give you nothing. They be giving you sponsored answers at the top.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, it depends, I guess, per team, per athlete and everything. Depends what your body can sustain by itself or not by itself. But, you know, it depends. You know, there's some people that can definitely handle like a very, very heavy workload. There's other people that actually might do better with like a lighter workload. But like in the times that they're coming into the gym, getting their work in, they're putting that work in.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like, yeah, if you're doing it all the time, you got to dial it back a little bit, I would imagine. You can't just be go, 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 go.
It's not everyday Pojada.
Like, to some people, it is. Some people are like, grr. I was like, yo, chill, son. Like, I'm 46 and I'm a hobbyist. Like, I'm just here to get my reps in. I was like, I'm here to kill. Like, I'm going to go ahead and take up a new hobby. Maybe chess. In your opinion, what are some of the key like fundamentals that every grappler should focus on, regardless of rank?
Oof, nice general question.
You can see me over here reading,
taking notes, trying to make me sound like a philosopher. Let's go with off the top of my head. I can think of generally. I want something. I want a takedown. I want something from guard and something from the top. Obviously, I want to be able to have something to go to from my good and my bad positions right away, because you want to be able to survive in a bad position. And then if you get to a good spot, you want to be able to call it a day and head on out. So that's the thing. Not that that's specific in any way whatsoever, but general outline of like what I want to try to get someone to do to like get from zero to, I don't know, maybe like the first 10 steps, because at least that gives you a general idea of what you want to do. You're like, oh, I'm missing something from bottom of side control. Okay, I need to like actually work on my escapes from there, even if it's one thing.
I'm going to take notes on that, because like that, I'll see something like that. I'll, you know, watching, you know, everybody compete at Naga last week. I was like, oh my God, like, you know, you kind of could see, you know, those steps there that you just described. I was like, oh my God, like, take notes. And then I trained, you know, this week, and I was like, none of those steps were there. I was like, I need to survive. Like, I, you know, like, and then when I get to the top position, I was just like, what do I do from here? Like, oh shit, just, you know what? I'm heavy. Just make them carry me.
Oh, that's an awkward little moment. You're like, I'm in the bad spot. Oh crap. What do I do?
Like, I think I had to resort to wrestling, like, submit mixers yesterday. I was just like, you know what? Like, oh, you turtled up? Guess what you eating today?
You got to do what you got to do.
Like, and then once I got him down to side control, I was just like, I don't even, like, man, you just carry me. That's just for turtling up. Now you're just going to have to live with this weight on you, buddy. Like, I'm up to 207. But, yeah, I totally get that. And, like I said, I'm taking notes. Like, this part of the podcast is just me asking questions to, like, okay, I'm going to take notes on this, take notes on that, but come back a whole new grappler. How do you maintain a balance between injury prevention, training intensity, and, you know, just kind of keeping yourself, you know, mat ready?
Oh, God. All right. Hold. Knock on wood. So for me, I don't know how. I'm very blessed, I think, with the sense that I generally don't get injured. I generally don't do that much maintenance to, like, prevent injuries or anything. I would say that I'm very, very aware and very careful of what types of movements I'm doing, what positions are what, and when anything can be, like, a potentially dangerous thing. I know that there's some people that might be like, listen, my arm's not going to feel right, but I think I could get out of this. Whereas I'd be like, no, my arm's... it's not right. This is not going to get better. So I think I'm generally aware of that. And then also I have a pretty decent, like, range of motion with, like, all my limbs. So, you know, even if I get squished a little bit here and there, I'm not getting as injured as, like, a Masters 5 guy who's, like, getting stacked on his neck.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I ended up, what was it? Was it 2 weeks ago? We were at, open mat on Sunday, mm-hmm. and Epps, they're all just talk about flexibility, and they're like, Dante, we got to get you moving like an old guy. And I was like, dude, I do move like an old guy. Did you just hear everything crack? And he was like, you know, I was like, lay on the mat, and like, how far can you kick your legs back? Mm-hmm. I kicked my legs up, and he just kind of stopped halfway. I was like, like, yep. Guess I'm not gonna be inverting or getting stacked today. Like, I can invert when necessary, you know, like, if we're in a roll, it's just going to happen because I'm not thinking about it. But if we're drilling, they're like, okay, we're going to, you know, kiss of the dragon, kiss of the who? Nah, I'm doing that. I want to do that. It's like, oh, hey, you can do it. I'm like, I can't. Like, but if we're in the middle of a roll, it just happens. And I'm like, and then you'll hear my homie like, it's weird because I didn't take you for like an invert guy. And he was like, neither did I. Trust me. Like, it probably won't happen again, but if it does, get it on video. Like, get the camcorders out. Like, how old are you?
How old do you think I am? That's the question.
See, black people in Asia, you know, like, it's tricky. Because I could say, I mean, you're every bit of 28. And he's like, dude, I'm 42. And he's like, fuck. Like, I don't know. If I had to take a general guess. Okay, so
you can't cut this from the podcast.
No, it will not get cut.
They're going to hear my emotions in your response. Let me hear.
So you started at 13. You're black belt now. So I'm going to go with 28. What, about 26 to 28?
Is this the final answer?
That's my final answer.
Oh, fuck. You're right on point.
Fucking right, doggy.
I'm 28.
Genius. See? I'm the smartest person alive. I know everything except for no things. Oh, that works. I'm just start saying
that was beautiful. I think you're the only person literally that has ever gotten it and gotten it like exactly on point.
Math. Because as soon as you said you were doing it,
I gave you hints. Oh, that's cheating.
See? Well, because also I'm thinking, I was like, okay, he's a black belt, started at 13. Okay, let's see here. It's got to be in that range of 26 or 28. It's like, I mean, in essence, to say, oh, like, you know, for me, I'm a blue belt. you know, for me to say, oh, I'm a black belt, like, in fucking 27 years, it's like, oh, so you've only been training for 7 years? Like, the fuck out of here. Like, no. When I went up and trained in Virginia, mm-hmm. I remember signing a waiver. And the guy goes, as I'm filling everything out on the tablet, he goes, so how long you been training? I was like, I think at that point, I think it was like 6 years, 5 or 6 years. I was like, oh, so you're a brown belt? I was like, oh, no, I'm a blue belt. Man. And there was this like look of disappointment in his face. I was just like, I'm about to come here and trash all your blue belts now. And I did for the most part until I went to no-gi. And they just took my lunch money. Like, I had nothing to offer. They're just tossing me around, like, pass me to the next guy. I was like, oh, man. Like, that's all right. Like, one day. But yeah, like, I figure, again, you know, you start at 13 with jiu-jitsu. It's like, yeah, give it about. I'm also kind of taking pointers from Vanessa's answer as well a few weeks back. So, like, there are hints.
Points over here.
There are hints. Like, I'm observant. It may not seem like it, but I observe things.
Yeah, you got your notes.
Yeah. I mean, they're not good notes, but sometimes my notes are taken. Like, these color-coded questions here, wrote them up at about, let's say, like, 11:20. So, when did you get here? Like, 11:40? Yeah. 20 minutes before. So, trust me. I'm a note taker.
You turned it in before the deadline, though. That's a pass.
That's the whole point. That is always my goal. Make sure you get it done before it's actually due. Doesn't have to be right. It just has to be done.
Listen, if you turned it in at 11:58 and it says 11:59 is the due date, you were right on time.
Yeah. Again, answers may not have been right, but the assignment was turned in. And you didn't say it had to be right. You said it has to be turned in. That's how I got through school, if you want to call it that. How do you think jiu-jitsu has evolved over the years and as far as, like, moving forward? Like, where do you see it going?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're definitely making these questions make me feel old. You're like, what was it like in your age? And I'm like, I'm not even that old, but okay.
Hey, back in the 1900s, like, how was it?
So, yeah, I mean, honestly, when I first started, I think the hot new craze when I started was, like, the Homolobo Hall, like, spider guard. And then it was even Bernardo Faria's deep half. And people were like, oh, my God, these are going to be, like, unstoppable. But, you know, with any sport, or I guess in this case, like, martial art, but anything like that, there's going to be adaptations. There's going to be things to cancel out. People aren't just going to give up and say, yeah, that is the end of it.
We don't need to know anything else.
It seems like there's been kind of a weird little wave where, like, it went for a little bit to kind of try and entangle people up. Like, there was lasso, there was lapel lasso, there was worm guard, reverse worm guard, whatever worm variation out there in the world. And then as like the next generation came up, they were like, all these entanglements are bullshit. I don't want to deal with them. But so the next generation was, cool, we're disentangling everything, and then we're going to start working our way through. And I think we still kind of might be in that era where, like, everyone now is pretty good at disentangling. And it seems right now there's a lot of movement trying to add in more and more transitions because everyone's getting better. Like, you can't just hit someone with a one and be like, that's it. It's going to be, hey, we're going to hit him with this one, but it's because we know it's going to open up the two. And because we know that the two's there, they're going to defend that. Then we got to hit them with a three. So this one is to set up our three. It's longer and longer, like, chains of attack, chains of movement and series. So, yeah, it's basically going to be a lot more movement and hustle for people.
Yeah. When you brought up the deep half, I remember when I started, I guess it was kind of on the tail end of it because mm-hmm. that was what we were always training, you know, not always training, but like we would definitely go to deep half quite a bit over at Ivy League. And it was just like, okay, cool. Deep half. This is where we're at. Like, we're learning this. And Mark still goes deep half sometimes. It's a little obnoxious. It's like, come on, dude, like, knock it off. I got a groin injury, but you know, you don't see a lot of people go to it anymore. It's like, yeah. I went to it yesterday. just because I knew the guy I was rolling with was like, you've never seen this. So I'm just going to go here and get a waiter sweep real quick. And then sit inside control. You've got another minute. You got to deal with this wait. But like, as you know, the game changes, or not even just change, but sometimes it kind of devolves, you know, like you said, there's all this entanglement, and they're like, let's just get out of all of that. It's kind of a de-evolution in some sense.
I don't know if I would describe it as de-evolution. I think all of it is progressive, because when everyone's like building on this, like when people like this generation is learning to disentangle everything, they're not necessarily getting rid of like all these entanglements. They're not saying, okay, we don't do any of this anymore. It's actually probably going to end up being more like, oh, like the first series of entanglements that we did, these don't work anymore. We have to add in new ways to entangle. We have to do better entanglements in order to really, really tie these guys up. And then it'll be the next generation saying, okay, they added this to really entangle me. Like right now, one of the things that I also see a lot is basically, in the gi at least, basically adding a lapel to any guard, because that is another layer of entanglement and that is another layer of annoyance that you absolutely must deal with if you are going to make any sort of progress. You know, it seems like that's like an oversimplification of it. Like, you know, add a lapel to it, it'll be good. But it is literally another layer that you can say, oh crap, before I had to deal with like this regular guard, but now I have to get out of this lapel and then deal with this regular guard. But he can always try to spam and go back to that lapel. And guess what? I start from square one, or I'm now in a different lapel entanglement.
Yeah, the lapels. Anytime I'm rolling with any purple, brown, even, you know, a lot of blue belts, and I see the lapels coming out, I'm just like, fuck. Like, I don't want to have to deal with this. So I end up just grabbing their wrist and like, stop.
Well, like, yeah. So that though, like, you might not believe it, but that is you being part of like a next generation of learning too. Because back in the day when everyone's first seeing all this stuff, everyone's like amazed by the wizardry. Like, oh my God, he's wrapping my own lapel around his leg, tying a double knot. And then there's a butterfly knot, and then they're just watching it. But at least you have like the first conscious step of, I don't like him grabbing my lapel, but if I grab his wrist, that might stop him from making the next grip transfer, which thereby stops, like, or at least puts a pause in the sequence. So that's like the progress that we do. It's not necessarily going to be like, you grab his wrist, so now he never does again. It's more like, oh, okay, now that Dante grabbed my wrist, what do we do next? Because I'm not just going to sit here. I'm still going to try and entangle him and annoy him.
So what I took from that is that I'm the future. Perfect. Just,
I mean, essentially, yeah, you keep going, you keep grabbing wrists.
I will let Keith know this next time I speak with him. I'll introduce myself to him again. Let me reintroduce myself, Keith. I'm the future. Pleased to meet you.
With the right branding, anything is possible.
That's true. And until they're like, you know what, sit down, kid. Actually called me a baby the other day. Like, I'm a year younger than him. Like, relax, dude. Like, chill. He's gonna hear this and be like, fuck that podcast, I'm not doing this. Like, please. Like, I think, like, you actually, like, does he want you to ask just to be on the podcast, or just so he could reject it? And now I'm starting to wonder. Now I'm wondering, like, I still never got a, like, solid answer. So I think he just wants to reject my...
Just elusive.
Like, yeah, he's a busy guy. He's a busy guy.
Oh, he's very busy.
And, I mean, that was kind of the initial talk. It was like, hey, when are you free? It was like, and he laughed. I was like, all right. So, let me rephrase that question. Like, when can you make time?
When are you free enough?
Yeah. Like, but it's fine. It's fine. You know what?
We'll get to him. It'll be a legendary episode.
The show is going to continue. And once we get him, we got him. And then he's going to come back for more. 100%. And then he would know, I am the future. Okay. So you're black belt. So we're gonna take out you getting your black belt from this equation. Because every time I ask this question to anyone that's a black belt, it's like, well, get my black belt. What's your most memorable moment in your grappling journey? Or martial arts journey?
Oof. So I think, honestly, I don't know if it's like one of my best or anything, but probably like one of my favorite moments was the 2019 Nogi Worlds. I had I think I had taken like a break from competing a year before. 2019, I kind of jumped back into competing. I had literally lost first round at the 2018 Nogi Worlds. So 2019 Nogi Worlds, I was like, all right, whatever. We're going in. We're going to give it our best like efforts, and we'll see how everything goes. I ended up winning, which was nice and everything, but I won, Vanessa won, Oscar won, Big Al won. I believe he double golded, and we had like a whole big squad that went, and Ty was coaching us there. If you know Ty. Ty is he's a lot of energy in the room.
Intense.
Yeah. So just that fact that like all of us won, all of us were there. It was just a really, really, really good time. Obviously after we all won, we were like super hype. So that was really good. But yeah, I think that was also kind of like I competed for a long time. I have some titles. I have relatively good results, I think, but this was kind of one of my first bigger gold medal results, and I was like, you know, obviously pretty hyped. Like I went to the tournament going, you know, this is my kind of first year coming back into competition. Let's just give it our best efforts. Let's see how we do with this. And then I managed to like pull through, get a gold, and managed to celebrate like with all my teammates too. That feeling was just super, super cool, and definitely one that I'm never going to forget. Especially when you know, like, unfortunately, I guess a little bit, the arena's a little empty, so you can hear like who's cheering for you, and you can tell where they are. So I got to like, I look at the scoreboard. I was like, oh shit, I won. I'm like, oh shit, I won. I look up. I can tell exactly like where all my teammates are, so I get to like point them out and be like, oh, this is fucking awesome. You guys are out there cheering for me. And then, like, I think, I don't even remember when Vanessa won. But, like I said, we all won, and it was just, the energy was so high. Morale is obviously really, really great, too. And we managed to have a good time after.
I think I remember seeing that, because, I lurk through social media. And I remember seeing it, because I remember Vanessa posting something about it, and posting, you won, she won, and I kind of going down the list, and I was like, god damn, they cleaning up. Hey, they went out there and was just like,
oh, yeah, it was a good year.
We are not fucking around today. We're here for gold and nothing else. So good, good. As an instructor, as a student, as a coach, can you explain, like, I guess, how important mentorship is, you know, in those roles, as having been, you know, the student and having been the coach as well?
Okay, let's see if I can break that down somewhat.
I don't know if I asked the question right. I was like how do I word this?
It's okay. It was multi-part. So I guess we'll go student side first. So if I'm the student, mentor, I think mentorship is extremely important. Like the coach paves the way or the path for the student to follow. Not, you know, whether or not they follow it is up to them, but you're really putting your trust in your coach to be your GPS for your technical advancement, your life advancement, mental, whatever it is you need be. And I think that's a very important relationship to have. You know, if there's any kind of like loss in faith or anything like that, then, you know, you might not be comfortable trying to go down the path. And you might say like, I don't know if I really should do this, or like, I don't think this will actually help me. For me, ever since I stepped into Crazy Eight, I think honestly I've had like 100% faith that like all the coaches were going to get me to where I need to be. There's just, first of all, there's like some really sharp minds there, so that doesn't hurt. Yeah. But then second, like there's just a good consistency, always like a nice positive message to push forward, and everyone is just really helpful. As ironic as it sounds, they're not trying to tear you down. They're trying to help you. Helping you helps them. It's a reflection on them. So yeah, everyone pulls away from that a winner, hopefully. So yeah, coach, student or competitor relationship, very, 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 very important. And I am lucky to have a very good one. In terms of me coaching other people, oh boy. I try to be a nice, I guess, positive influence on them. I would like them to be consistent. I would like them to do this and that. Basically like regurgitating everything that my coach threw at me. Which, you know, I think I've ended up in an okay spot. So hopefully others can copy from that what they will and end up in as good, if not a better spot than me.
Taken from that, you know, I think when I was like, there have been times where like I'll get not yelled at, but like I'll be doing, like I remember Julius, he came over to Severna Park. Well, I think it was still Ivy League at the time.
Okay.
And he was filling in and I was doing something. Well, first off, he questioned like my shrimping. He was like, why do you shrimp that way? I was like, I don't. I mean, this is how I was shown the shrimp. And, you know, what he explained to me and what he showed me, actually, I've kind of kept it that way since. You know, it's like, and initially I kind of took it like, man, like yo, I'm like doing what I was taught, man. I'm learning. But it wasn't him, you know, kind of grilling me about when mm-hmm. it was like, you know, understand there are other ways to do this. Like, you don't have to just do it this one way. You know, there's as I don't even want to use that saying. Never mind. I'm going to just go ahead and stay away from that saying that's harm to animals. But, you know, just looking at it, it's like, OK, there are other, you know, ways to kind of approach something. Mm-hmm. And it took a while for my brain to kind of process. It's like, oh, you're helping me. And then during a roll, I think I was passing, but I was passing for my knees. And this was a yell, like he was scolding me. And
that'll happen sometimes.
And again, in the moment, I was like, yo, what the like, son, like, why are you coming at me this way? But then, you know, as the weeks went on, it kind of clicked. It's like, he's not yelling at me. You know, he's
yelling to you.
Yeah. He's like, you know, it's like, okay, he's out there on the mat. You know, you can't just talk gently. You know, I'm not going to hear him if he's talking at like a regular tone. It's like, you know, you kind of have to like put some bass in your voice. And, you know, as I took that later, I was like, okay, this guy's helping me. He's not like yelling at me. And the way I always compute things is like, if you're yelling, you're angry at me. And it's like, I don't want to talk to you now. But, you know, there have been plenty of times we've crossed paths and like just chit chat. And it's like, oh, like, that's not all that bad. But it's like, oh, man, like if I'm in one of his classes and I'm doing something wild, just. Put the switch on and be prepared, because hey, I'm on here. I'm going to know when I'm messing up. And as I always say about my grappling game, it's more of a like, I got some parts here. I know some things here. I know some things there. I'm going to make this all work. But if he sees us like, okay, that's some shit. Like, I don't know what kind of goulash you're cooking, but like, let's get a real recipe. Like, let's like get the cookbook out. And follow the instructions on how to make this apple crisp. So,
I mean, I was going to say that sounds, I guess, loosely similar to like a Gordon Ramsay type, where like, you know, you see him yelling and all this stuff, but it's not because he's like personally pissed with you. It's not because he's like trying to critique you as a person. I think it's literally just because of like the passion, the caring that he's like, hey, like you're like really kind of messing this up. I want you to get better. I want you to fix this. And it's something that I can like tell you right now that we can like just get on it, and then we can like move on to the next thing, and you can just keep getting better. Like, if this is something we can fix easy, then I might yell at you a little bit, but it's out of love.
Yeah. Well, it's like you said, like us doing better as the students, you know, it's also better for the coaches as well. So first off, it shows, you know, what you're teaching is working, number one. You know, and number two, it's like, okay, if it's not working, what do we have to tweak about it? You know, but then also three is like, I mean, it feels good. And, you know, you got your student out there actually, you know, actually kicking ass. It's like, yeah, like, you know, I'm the future. like, you know, I'm the future of coaching. So, wow. I definitely get that. I'm going to go ahead and take you to some would you rather questions real quick.
Okay.
Because I feel like we're getting a little too serious here. It's like, let's loosen it up a little bit. I know you're a pet guy. You know, got cats. So you got a dog?
Yeah.
Awesome. I remember being a kid, always seeing like people with a cat and a dog, and, you know, having watched cartoons. It's like, how does that work?
Did stereotypes, huh?
Like, yeah, it's like, did they chase each other around the house all the time? Or like Heathcliff? Like, just fighting all the time? It's like, yeah, it's like a horrible stereotype. It's like, they're probably best friends, just going for cats and dog walks around the neighborhood.
Oh, man, hold up. I've seen that. That's a lie. There's a reason why those Instagram videos have so many views, because it's a lie. Or it's because it's so rare. But I just get super jealous and annoyed.
I spend last night alone, I don't know how long, just on Instagram looking at cat videos.
Oh, 100%.
And the worst thing is I'm allergic to cats.
But that one I can't help you on.
I love them, though. I'm like, dude, they're so interesting.
And we literally have, it's me, my wife Lindsay, and Vanessa. We have a group chat. Probably about 80% of it is just us sending cat videos into the group chat and or cat memes.
I mean, cats are fascinating. And it's like, I could sit there and just, with my buddy, he had like, three or four kittens.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I would just go over there and watch them. Like, they're just like wrestling around. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what happened to one of them. Like, I'm not going to speculate.
You just said we were supposed to be taking a lighter tone, and you said there was four kittens, and then I don't know what happened to one. I don't think he went to the farm. Well, with that tone.
He went to the farm, but it's not the farm you think. But then as the others start getting older, they start becoming like real, like, cunty.
Oh, that's sad.
Like, yeah, it's like, it was just like mean. I was like, I don't like this. Like, I don't like cats at all anymore. You guys are cool when you're like little kittens. And as they got older, like, it was like they weren't hissing at me or anything, but it was just like, you know, you come over to like play with them and it was just like, nah, not today, homie. And I was like, come on, son. Like we was friends. But like, if I weren't allergic, I would have, well, my wife keeps saying, like, we wouldn't have cats. She's, like, horribly allergic.
You literally cannot have cats in this room. You cannot. They will literally knock 100% of every single one of these figures down within, like, an hour.
They would not be allowed down here. Like, the door would
always... They're going to find a way. And yeah, you're going to come down, and you're going to be like, I'm returning this to sender.
The cat would just be like, as soon as it gets down here, it's just going to look around, it's like... I've been waiting all my life for this.
Yeah.
And just destroy it.
It's my time.
Everything. Like, there are figures in cases. They're like, I'll knock that case over.
It's like, if I can't get inside, the case is done.
Like, yeah. I think the one behind me might be the safest one just because of, like, those DTOS over there. Yeah. They'll figure it out.
Oh, 100%.
That's I'm looking, because they're flimsy anyway. Fuck those things. Like, they're super flimsy. Cat would just, like, knock something over into it. But that's okay.
And then even with your shelves, they would probably figure out a way to get on the shelves, and then they would start messing with that, and they can go for your posters. Yeah, this is like the destroy room for cats.
Yeah, like, yeah, this room in itself says you're not allowed to have pets, period. Whenever my cousins, I think my cousins brought their kids over once, and it wasn't as expensive as it is now, but I had some shelves, and I remember the boy came down here. And his eyes lit up, and he charged for the shelf. And I grabbed him by the back of his collar. It looked like it's straight out of a cartoon. Like, like feet in the air, kicking. I was like, no, chill, homie. Like, relax. These are not for play. These are not for you. You look with your eyes. And
you got museum rules on it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he didn't listen. He still went over, grabbed three of them. I was like... You know, it's fine. Just play.
Whatever. Minimize the damage.
Yeah. Just like, he's got three. That's perfect because it's only three. Like, my daughter has always known from an early age when we go to my buddy's house out in Newmarket, his basement is set up in such a way that, like, from day one, like, she's been around his stuff and they have a daughter. Like, they're just, our kids are the same age. All the kids know these are for your eyes, not for your hands. You can look. My daughter's never messed with anything down here. If anything, she comes down here and counts the Spider-Man figures. Like, Dad, you have 37 Spider-Man. I was like, girl, get out of my basement. Like, here's, take some Fantastic Four figures. Go count those. Come back in like 4 seconds. I'm done. But no, this is not a pet-friendly room. Mm-hmm. So, but that's okay. That's okay. Because it's like, I'm not allergic to these action figures. Unfortunately, I'm allergic to cats. Although I'd like to have a dog. My wife's like, no, because I'll be the one taking care of the dog. And I'm like, maybe.
Like, oh, you're not good at selling this at all.
It's okay. She doesn't listen. She does. Like, but she selectively listens. She'll like, oh, I listened to your episode last week.
That's my dog.
Like, ew. So, no dog? No. No dog. Well, I'm going to bring him a cat one day.
That's like bomb. You're going to bring home a bomb.
Like, I'm allergic, but I'm not allergic in a way where, like, it's, like, terrible. Like, I'll power through for some hours. Like, she gets near a cat, and, she crumbles over. And I was like, oh, you better be nice.
Yeah, my sister's allergic. She just sneezes. And then, like, normally she sneezes, like, 8 times in a row. So, I'm, like, we haven't had our cats, like, anywhere near her. I think one time, I didn't think about it at all, but my niece used her little brush on our little cat.
Oh.
And then I got home, and then my sister said, hey, did you do this? And I was like, yeah, I have a video. She was like, you idiot. And I was like, oh, I am dumb. Oh, but this video is great.
But ain't it cool, though? Like, yeah, I guess. Now, we were going to buy a house, and the previous owner had cats. And the second we walked in the house, my wife just... She was all fucked up.
Oh, that's like your Chernobyl, huh?
Yeah. I was concerned because, so my wife is allergic to pineapples and kiwi, but those are like new allergies for her.
Okay.
So we were going to a Christmas party. She cut up some fruit,
a little
platter. She even ate some of the kiwi.
What?
And then the next day, it was the same day. It was that same morning she did it. She set it all up that morning. We're in the car on our way up there. She's driving, and she was like, something's not right. Oh, no, something's not right. And like she started wheezing a little bit, and her eyes started bulging. Okay, so this is going to sound really fucked up, but I trust you. I love my wife. This was before, like, cell phones were what they are now. I really wanted to get a picture, like, for the gram. But
it's okay. It's in hindsight.
Yes. she knows I care. But, like, we got to our friend's house, and we're like, do you guys have any Benadryl or anything? You know, mm-hmm. Like, they don't keep any kind of Benadryl. I think they had, like, children's Benadryl, but yeah. I don't know. It helped a little bit, but it took some time. So she took one of those, like, where's the nearest hospital? We're in Newmark. They're, like, Frederick, about, 25 minutes that way. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, all right. So we get to the hospital. The Benadryl started kind of taking hold eventually, like, once we got back to the doctor about an hour later.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was like, okay, so no kiwis, no pineapples for you. And then the cat allergy got worse. So basically the moral of the story is she needs to buy me more action figures or I will bring home a cat. Because I ain't no punk.
Biological warfare.
I will deal with those allergies on my own.
It's not even blackmail.
It's like, just give me a figure. I should have told her to get me that Spider-Man figure. Now it did look nice. I'm a little salty. I might go back out to Target later today. But, but yeah, and I have a peanut allergy now that's brand new. Like, well, not brand new. It was like around 32 it developed.
That one hurts. I love peanut butter.
Dude, I just had a Reese's ice cream cake last night.
Wait, what?
No, it sucks. It's pretty aggressive. Like, it's not like...
You're treating these allergies like speed limits. Like, they're kind of advice that you don't take.
Yeah. I mean, so bananas, cashews. I have 3 bags of honey roasted sriracha roasted cashews upstairs. They're so good. But around like this is allergy season now, so the pollen started. Mm-hmm. This is now when I can't have any of that because I start my mouth itches. My throat doesn't close up or anything, so that's fine. Yeah. Like my wife keeps saying eventually it will. I'm like, we'll keep rolling those dice. But
okay. I'm allergic to seafood, and every time we like go somewhere that has seafood, my wife hates it. She's like, I don't have an EpiPen. I haven't had an EpiPen in like, I don't know, over 10 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you should get one. I'm like, nah, it'll be fine.
Right? Like my wife keeps saying like, you should get an EpiPen. I was like, look, okay. So hear me out on this logic. Okay. Most humans are responsible. Very responsible. They have EpiPens if they, most. I didn't say all, but most. I am not. I'm the kind of person, if I had EpiPen, I'm curious. I'm a little dumb. I might fucking empty it out on accident. So if somebody has an EpiPen and I have a reaction, I haven't had one yet. I should be good. Like nothing like life-threatening. But, you know, hey, does anybody have EpiPen? Stab me in the thigh. Rock it out. I'll pay them back, you know, because they're not cheap.
Yeah, hit them with an IOU.
You know, and life continues on, hopefully, as long as I get to the hospital or they get to me. So that's my logic on EpiPens. I will not get one, but someone's going to have one, I hope. And hopefully they're willing to share. That'd be fucked up if I'm like, yo, that dude over there is having a fucking reaction to something. Yo, you got an EpiPen? It's like, nah, dog, I can't let him use mine.
I was going to say, you might hit up the one guy that's like, so like, how are you going to, pay me back with like Venmo or like a check? Cause like, you know, the way my bank account works. And then you're just like, I'm dying. They're like, well, you're talking to me. So like, let's figure out this negotiation first. And then we can see how to like, I guess, save your life or whatever.
I mean, yeah. You might have to just get like the little bracelet. So you're like, I have Venmo.
Please. It's like, is that a life alert, sir? It's like, this is actually my Venmo.
Just flip it over.
Just scan it. Yeah, hit this QR code if you're charging me for that.
Like, hit me with the EpiPen now. Go ahead, hit that QR code. There you go. I got you. I owe you. But yeah, we got far away from the would you rather. All right. So as a pet person, would you rather have 100 duck-sized elephants or one elephant-sized duck?
Oh, I'm going with the tiny elephants. That'd be so cool. I could just have like a little herd of elephants following me around, like a little gang.
Yeah, I think that's cool. Like,
I think it'd be like my little entourage. It could be like, this is my herd of elephants.
Well, I'm also thinking too, like a giant duck sounds like a nightmare.
Oh, it's super impractical. Like, I don't even know what you do with it.
Yeah, well, ducks are also kind of like, they're horrible humans.
Yeah, I heard they're basically dicks. Like, yeah. So like that thing would immediately probably try to kill you.
Yeah, fuck that. Let's get some elephants.
Can you imagine I don't think I would, because it'd be kind of cool, but like you could gift bag that shit. You'd be like, hey man, oh, it's so nice to see you. Here, take one of my tiny elephants. You know, this guy's Dumbo.
That would be actually cool. Giving like pet elephants to people as like gifts.
I mean, I could see like Beyonce and Jay-Z are like, oh, it's Jay's birthday. Here you go. Take one of our little Dumbos on the way out.
Like,
and you're like, is this real?
Like one of their little parties, they're just like having a little soiree.
Yeah, of course.
And it's like, you know, oh yeah, don't forget to grab your elephant on the way out.
Like, they're like, well, how am I going to do that? They're like, oh, it's palm size. It's fine.
It's fine. It'll be cool. What do we feed it? I fucking know. What do you feed elephants?
I'll give it like one peanut. It'll survive off that shit.
I think it should be fine. It's little. Like, well, that's not true. I had a bunch of little turtles and they all died. Because they're little. I thought, like, I don't have to feed them a whole lot. That's wrong.
You got to feed them.
Well, I did feed them, just not a lot. I fed them like, you know, a piece of lettuce here and there. And like, apparently, like, you need to give them more.
You need to give them sustenance to live.
I figured out on my 4-for-1, you know, Ninja Turtles.
Oh my God.
On the 4-for-1, you had to feed them more. And that one lasted longer, but it didn't make it to, because I had these when I was in Delaware. It didn't make it to Maryland.
Are you on like EPA's list or something? Like now, they're like, hey, if any man named Dante approaches, do not hand him a turtle.
And I just go to Lake Elkhorn and grab one. There was like, we counted like 20 some odd turtles out there sunbathing the other day.
Oh, okay. Never mind. You're helping the local population.
You know, just go scoop some up, put them in a bag, bring them home. And like, now that I know to feed them more, like they should last actually. So like, I think those are the only pets I'm allowed to have. Like my wife won't even let me have a fish tank.
Really? Yeah. Fish tanks I feel like are easy enough.
Yeah,
easy enough.
Okay. So one time, this is going to sound horrible, but my logic, the logic of a 12-year-old.
Oh, it's peak.
Yeah, it made sense. So I had this neighbor named Jeffrey Scott. Yeah, I put the full name out there. Fuck that kid.
Are you going to tag him?
I looked him up. I can't find him. Ooh, that might be. Oh, that might be bad. Nah, he wasn't a great human. So Jeffrey Scott used to come down to my house. He had to take naps. Like, that shit was wild. It was like, dude, you 12 and 13 years old, you got to take a nap. That's wild. And I had Trivial Pursuit Genus Edition. G-E-N-U-S, Genus.
Okay.
And I remember he looked at that. He goes, oh, Genius Edition. That's perfect for me because I'm a genius. And I was like, you dumb fuck. So anyhow, Jeff would always go to my fish tank. I had Siamese fighting fish. I had a bunch of penguin fish and a couple goldfish. Now, I had to keep the fighting fish. We had to put a screen, keep it on its own, because we didn't know any better. Like, I was a kid. I didn't know shit. My grandfather should have known better. He's a fucking genius. He was like, you should have known this motherfucker was going to attack the others. He didn't, like, it never messed with the penguin fish at all. Hmm. It only went after the goldfish. And I had an algae eater that was safe as well. Jeff would come over and put his hand in the fish tank and chase the fish around.
Oh, what a dick.
Exactly. He would do this all the time. And this was still unhinged Dante, so I would, like, hit people, but I would not hit him. Just because I just felt like that's...
He ain't worth the time.
Yeah, it's like it's not worth the time. So I concocted a new plan. So I go to my grandma and I says, Grandma, can I have a piranha? And my grandfather intervenes and says, well, you can have a piranha, but you have other fish in there and that may not jive well. So, you know, when the fish eventually die, which I'm 12 years old, and this isn't some shit that's like logic in my mind yet. When he says when they eventually die, I'm like, they're going to die?
You mean go to the farm, Grandpa? The fish farm?
He goes, when they eventually die, we will get you a piranha. So, 12-year-old logic kicks in again. All right. So, it's not going to look natural if I just start fleshing these fish.
Oh, God.
That's not right. But if you turn the heater up in the tank.
Oh, my God. You made mini fish soup.
Unintentional. Well, it was intentional, but.
It was a tragic accident.
It wasn't under the ideal, like, I'm a horrible human. Jeff's a horrible human. So he kind of made me do this. And then the fucked up part is they never got me my piranha.
Broken promises.
Yeah. I just like, they kind of set the standard for my trust with them. They never bought me the G.I. Joe Mobile Command Center that I asked for. They said it was on layaway.
You got this stuff written down on a list. You're like, I remember this. I remember the date.
People don't forget, Chris. People don't forget. So yeah, I did bring up the piranha thing to my grandma, what, 3 years ago?
Oh, like, nice.
It's like, hey, so you guys still owe me a piranha. And she's like, what? And I told her that whole story. I was like, you cooked your fish, though. Like, we're not going to reward you for killing your pets. And I was like, fuck. Like, I hope no one from PETA listens to this.
Oh, dude. PETA, the EPA, everybody's going to get on your ass. They're like, listen, keep this man away from any, like, fish life, water creatures, anything of the sort. He has made fish soup. He has starved turtles. He is an enemy of the sea.
So turtles was completely just, I didn't know any better. I was just really, really fucking dumb. I thought it made sense just to give him some, like, lettuce. And no, it's you need to give him more than lettuce.
Man, you'd have beef with Aquaman.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not worried about Aquaman. It, like, because his name's Aquaman. It's like, I just don't really.
You step anywhere close to the water, he might do something at you.
No, what it was like in the New 52 Aquaman. Is it Mira? Yeah, Mira. Yeah. There's a panel where they're in the bar and some dude was mouthing off and she went to work. She goes, oh, you're feeling funny, aren't you? A little hard to breathe. She was like basically draining his water from his body. And it was like, oh my God, you're a monster. But like, and then Amber Heard played her. So it kind of all.
Matching roles.
It all worked out. So they knew. DC knew. So yeah, basically if y'all got pets and y'all want somebody to take them, I'm not the one. It's that simple. Would you rather be a kid your whole life or an adult your whole life?
All right. Wait, are we allowed to ask questions on this? I feel like there was some stipulation.
So with would you rathers, it's usually just no, you know, it's just straightforward, but I'll take your question.
What do you define as a kid? Are we talking about, like, legally? Like, I could be, like, 17 forever? Or are you talking about, like, I'm an 8-year-old?
I'm going to take it up to 12.
Oh, and then what's an adult? Like, am I Masters 4 or am I Masters 1?
I'm going to take adult. I'm going to give you, when's the brain fully, like,
fixed? I think, like, 25-ish.
So let's take 25.
Oh, 25. 25, okay. 100%. Oh, my God.
Yeah, not a thing.
That kid's got no options. Yeah. That kid's just like, he doesn't even know who he is.
I feel like 25 is like the right time too. It's like, I made some of my worst choices at 25, but if I'm 25 all my life, I'm going to learn. I'm going to figure this out. Like, if I'm 12, I mean, I can't even, like, I don't smoke, but I can't buy a pack of smokes.
Like, at 12, you can't do anything. The only thing that you have is forever anxiety because puberty is hitting you.
Yeah. It's not even there yet. It's on pre-puberty. Its way. It's like, oh, man, it's on its way. It's like, sorry, kid, you're 12.
It's horrible. I mean, like, you have no responsibilities, but you're also like, what is life? And you're like, I don't know.
It's like Interview with the Vampire when they turn Claudia, you know, to the little kid vampire. She was a little kid forever. That shit sucked because she eventually figured it out. She's like looking at grown women like, oh, she's got long, pretty hair. She can braid it. Meanwhile, I'm this little 10-year-old vampire with curly hair. I got forever curls. This fucking sucks. I want to straighten my hair out.
And man, you know, you sold it at 25 because 25 is like your peak physically. You usually, I mean, not usually, but I think a fair amount of people at 25 have kind of done a lot of their schooling. They've at least got themselves in a bit of a groove with their job, their life, and everything. So now they have a little bit of freedom to do what they want with their lives. And then at 12, you have anxiety.
It's like, all right, so you're 12 years old. Perfect. I'm so happy.
Yeah, no one looks back fondly and is like, ah, I remember when I was in middle school going through puberty. What good times. They're like, oh, God, please just, like, erase, delete.
Yeah, now that I think about it, when I was 12, that shit sucked.
25, everyone's like, oh, man, I was doing this, this, and this.
25 was, like, the peak. I wouldn't say it was the peak of my party binge years yet, I think.
But a peak nonetheless.
I was peaking. I was on my way up.
You were on the come up.
That was the time where it was, like, party every night. And I'm not sure how my wife never left me. like we were just talking about St. Patrick's Day one year. Like, we got home. She was already home. My buddies and I got home. And don't drink and drive. So we're not condoning drinking and driving, but somehow we made it home.
If you do, my brother-in-law, David Swanets.
And we ended up, we got out the car, laid on the front lawn. It is muddy outside. We're like laying in the mud laughing and giggling, and we call Sarah and like, we need help. It's just, oh my God, where are you? And you just hear Steve in the background giggling. I was like, we're out front. And she comes outside, we're laying in the mud. She dragged all of our sorry asses into the house one by one. God
bless her soul.
Yeah. And it was like that moment in itself, she was just like, I need to probably call it quits with this guy. Like, he's a menace.
I don't know, you had something in you that said, despite me dragging his ass, this is a creeper.
I don't know, like I appreciate it, and she buys me action figures, so like, I guess I should probably cook dinner tonight. Like, at least something. I don't know, like, I'm not painting a good picture, but I'm not a great artist anyway. Would you rather speak in a baby voice for a day or be spoken to in a baby voice for a day?
Oh God, that's
both sound fucking
I'd
terrible.
Rather be spoken that way because, like, I'm already a tiny diminutive man. Like, if I was to speak in a baby voice, I could not be taken seriously in any capacity.
It's like,
I'm already having to speak up at people. Like, if I have to speak up at people in a baby's voice, I'm essentially a bearded child.
I think both is very nightmarish. It's like,
I'd rather them speak it at me, because then I could just smack them up a little bit and say, what are you doing at me right now?
Like, and also too, I can just avoid people all day.
Oh, 100% too.
I'll just avoid everyone.
Yeah, just take a little me time, and you're like, all right, when's a baby voice done? And it's over.
Would you rather get $1 every time you compliment a stranger or $100 every time you insult a stranger?
I mean, okay. Oh, they're strangers. I mean, does it have to be like to their face? Is it me going like, hey, I'm about to earn $100.
So I'm going to say it has to be to them. But I think, dude, there's a strategy to this. I got this covered. I got you.
I mean, so here's the thing. I usually, I'm a very safe, stable kind of like not trying to take any risky gambles, I would definitely probably, if there's like, if we're going with the stipulations now, because there's like no rules here, I could definitely just cheat and be like, hey, man, I'm about to insult the mess out of you, but I'm going to get $100. I'll give you $30.
Oh.
And then they might be like, all right, talk about me. And I'm like, that's all right, cool. Let's start talking.
I like that logic. That's a lot. That's a lot more diplomatic than where I was going, because I was just going to.
That's like, come here, brother. Let me talk about you for a quick sec.
I was going to go, like, you know, to a preschool and just start insulting little kids.
Oh, that's a good idea, too.
And they don't know any better, you know.
Oh, yeah. You can literally go right above their heads. That works. That's a good loophole. I like that, actually. You can,
like, talk to them in a baby voice. It'll be fine. Like, they won't even get it. They'll just be like, oh, that's pretty funny.
No, I like that loophole, actually, because then I'll keep more of the money. And I could even just be like, I'll give you a whole dollar. And they'll be like, oh, my God, a whole dollar? Yeah. And I'll be like, yeah, that's a lot of money. You best not spend it in one place.
As a matter of fact, you say to them, I'll give you a dollar for every compliment you give me.
Try to double my bets.
And then, like, as they say something nice to you, you say something horrible to them. You get 100 and then give them one. Oh, my God. This is, dude, get money.
I'll just go through a whole class.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to have
I'm sure the teacher would be fine with it. You'd be like, listen, I'll give you 10% of the cut. And they'll be like, oh, man, hold up. Let me contact my friend.
It's like, first off, you're a teacher. I know you're not making a lot, so I got you covered, lady.
We'll call this a bonus.
Like, we got you. We got you. Would you rather smell like garlic or a wet dog?
I guess garlic. I mean, they're both not great. I think garlic, and then I would probably either isolate myself or I would just tell people like, man, I was just in the kitchen cooking garlic.
True.
Just straight up garlic for some reason. It was just garlic day.
Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not really crazy about garlic. I think I am, but I'm not. Like, my neighbor, they got burritos up the street one day. And they're like, you want a burrito? I was like, yeah. And I'm the kind of guy, I'm a picky eater, but at the same time, like, if you're giving me free food, I'll figure my life out. So they come back with these burritos. So they got me, like, I don't know what made them think to give me a shrimp burrito. That just...
Random.
Yeah, super random, right? Because they got, like, I think the husband, he got, like, a beef burrito and some
that's like standard.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Okay, you know, and then the wife got like a beef. What's she having? Like garlic and some wild shit. It was wild. And they bring me the shrimp one. I didn't complain, but my wife goes, "You don't even like shrimp," and I was like, "Yeah, but I mean, I was going to figure my life out because that's what I do. You know, you give me food, I'll figure it out." And then the wife gives me her burrito. And I'm eating a burrito. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I was like, who the fuck? Give me the shrimp one back. Who eats this much garlic? Like, I mean, I ate it. I power through. Like, because, again, it's free. Like, I'm not going to turn away food.
100%.
But I was just like, oh, my God. Like, this is a nightmare. And then since then, I've just been kind of like, man, fuck garlic. Like, garlic don't taste or smell good.
Oh, man, you got overpowered by it, though.
Yeah.
It's the you know, the thing where the kids eat too much candy and then they throw up and they're like, I swear, I'm never going to have candy again. And then the next day they're like, I could use some candy.
Oh, those kids are pussies. Like, I ate a whole bag of jelly beans the other day. Like, a whole bag of Starburst jelly beans.
Oh, no. Candy's fine, but garlic is your candy.
Well, yeah, it's like I had all that garlic. I was just like, never again. Then my wife like made spaghetti with some garlic bread. I was like,
You said, how dare you?
I'll be all right. I was like, I'm just gonna go ahead and go upstream and get McDonald's. Like, I don't even want McDonald's. It's just like, ugh. But I'll take my chances. Would you rather give up showering or the internet for a month?
Oh, man.
Wait, so would you rather give a shower? So I guess showering altogether?
I mean,
internet just for a month. I mean, it's just a month.
So, like, yeah. I mean, I guess it would have to be the internet because, like, literally, logistically, I cannot not shower for an entire month. I would become staff. I would be the staff. I would probably get kicked out of training probably on, like, the second or third. No, maybe not even the second practice. They would be like, did you smell like shit? And I'd be like, I do.
Like, you're right, I do.
It was me. And then I would be out of internet and practice and showering. That would be awful. Oh, wait, no. I wouldn't have anything. I would be out of No, I would have the internet. I guess so, that would make up, but that would be, that'd be kind of like, oh, I'm in isolation because no one can stand my smell.
Yeah, it's like, it's a weird isolation on both of them, because I'm going to assume the showering is for a month. I think they're both for a month.
I mean, that's still awful. I mean, even a week is bad.
But it's like, if you give up showering, yeah, you're isolated for, you know, that period because nobody wants to be around you because you smell like shit. But if you go off the internet, you're kind of weirdly digitally isolated.
Because, a little bit.
You know, but that might actually be good, though.
I mean, yeah, a little decompression.
Yeah.
And then also my wife, she has like super sharp smelling. So in addition with that shower, I would probably not be in the house. I would probably be forced to get a hotel room miles and miles and miles away so that she could not even like sense me in any capacity.
So note to everybody, wash your ass. Plain and simple.
That's a good general note. Not just specifically for now.
Like just always wash your ass. Like, you know, don't fuck around with the internet. Take a shower. That's you know, words live by. Would you rather be a baby with the mind of an adult or an adult with the mind of a baby? That's fucked.
Oh, God. I mean, I think I've heard of this one. I think technically, I guess I'd rather be like the adult with a baby mind, because at least you're being a baby. You're doing whatever and just in an adult body. But like, if you were conscious of everything as a baby, that would be so like fucked. You couldn't do anything about it. Yeah. You'd just be like, oh God, I just crapped my diaper. And then you'd be like, well, I'm going to cry because I can't change it. And oh, mom's taking a nap. I cannot change my diaper. But I'm stuck.
As a baby, because I don't know what, like, because as a baby, there's stages of baby. Like, am I a baby that can crawl? Because, I'll just go wake her up like, hey, yo, Rita, yo, you need to change
your diaper. Hold up. But can this baby talk?
Wait a minute. Well, if you have the mind of an adult, though, why are you shitting yourself?
No. But wouldn't it, oh, man, I don't know. I guess, yeah, I don't know much about babies. If it's like, it can't be like a conscious effort that they're like, It's shitting time. Let's go.
I think we know when we're gonna shit though. like as an adult, it's like, oh man,
But you physically wouldn't be able to like stop it to make someone aware of like it's going down. Red flag.
Like maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure how that works with babies. I just thought it was like oh, you know you're about to shit, because yeah, when you potty train your kid, like hey, you know you're about to shit, go in there.
I guess it'd be like akin to like knowing how to do something or like being aware of something versus being able to physically actually do it. Like, I mean, yeah, we can tag it back to jiu-jitsu. Like you can watch a move and you can be like, oh, all of those moves, they 100% make sense. Like I understand why his body's moving that way. And then when you do it, you're like, this makes no sense. That was all garbage. I understood absolutely none of that. This man is a lie.
I don't know, man. I think as a baby, if you're aware, you're probably not going to shit in that diaper, I think.
But then, like, I would have to hold it until I'm like, mother, please attend to me.
But if you can, like, army crawl to the toilet, oh, but the toilet's going to be too high. The
toilet's going to be high. I don't know if I'm going to be able to take off the diaper. Like,
yeah, that's
a lot of logistics getting.
Because, yeah, as a baby, even though you have the mind of an adult, you got, like, baby hands. So you can't really do much with baby hands other than, like,
coordination.
Like, oh, man, babies suck.
And if, like, you know, if you're getting fed something, you don't like it. You're like, I don't like this. But then you can't say anything. You're just like, I'm dying.
Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like, again, if you got the mind of an adult, though, you're conscious enough to be able to talk. Like, hey, man, yo, those fucking mixed vegetables, this is fucking trash, man. I'm not eating that shit. Those mashed bananas, fuck all the way off. Oh, the baby food meat? No. Just give me a boob. Like, you know what I want to eat.
I mean, if you can talk, if you can communicate, if you can kind of structure yourself to be able to do what you need to do, maybe you could be an adult in a baby's body, because then you're going to be like, oh, it's only going up from here. I'm only going to grow up. I'm only going to be able to do more and more stuff, and I'm a baby, so I can just, like, do all the things that I didn't do when I should have.
I forgot about the concept of actually growing up. I just thought you were a baby forever. Damn.
Oh, if you're a baby forever. I
misread that. Yeah, if you're a baby forever, fuck all that noise.
Like, oh, I don't know if I could do that forever. I'd be like, oh, my God.
Because, I mean, yeah, if you're a baby and you're going to grow, then that's fine. But if you're an adult and you got the mind of a baby,
I mean, essentially, you're just like in the ethos, just floating around. You're like, I am a baby, but I'm in an adult like vessel. This does nothing.
Like, that's a weird question. Fuck that one. All right. Let's get one more out of here. Let's see. Would you rather have horns or a tail?
You say horns?
Yeah.
Or like, okay.
I was thinking like horns, like blown horns. Like what the, like that's the way I read it at first. I was like, yo, that is, tail. Okay, horns and a tail. Now I get it. It's not like trumpets. Like,
I think I'd rather go horns. I think that would be way cooler, way more useful. I mean, mm-hmm. like I could still like wear all my clothes and such, like a tail. I'm going to have to get everything tailored. Like, it ain't going to fit in my pants.
Yeah, I think a tail, and I don't know because I don't have a tail, but I feel like a tail just kind of like moves around and she, like, do you control that? Like, because, I mean, you see the basement. I can't just be walking around with a tail knocking action figures.
Oh, my God.
Over.
You spin, you're going to knock down a shelf.
No, that's a nightmare. But horns, on the other hand, horns, like, oh, if someone's talking some shit,
yeah.
Oh, you're getting a horn, son. Like, it's on. Like, I'm charging people.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, that, like, that's so useful. Let me, actually, I just saw one last one here. I say that one was the last one. This is the last one. Would you rather wrestle a gorilla or two alligators?
Oh, God. Oh, man. I guess the alligators, because if I wrestle a gorilla, it's over. It's over.
I think you've wrestled alligators. It's probably over, too. They eat people.
There's a way higher chance, because, like, it's a gorilla that knows he's wrestling me. So he's going to be like,
true.
He's like, oh. I must kill this child versus the alligators. I might be able to just like stun them or something and say, guys, I'm out.
Pop them
and like
in the
run
hand.
Away. But a gorilla is not going to be like, of course, this gentleman must leave. I should leave him in peace.
I think there's like some calming technique for the alligator, too. Like you can.
Yeah,
get
we're making
them,
a stronger
like,
argument for that then.
So, yeah, let's go fuck them alligators up, man. And there's two of them. You know, just chill one out and then you chill the other one out. And then I think
I just
win.
Like from what I can remember, I don't think. Like a gorilla is what, like 400 pounds at least?
Right, at least.
So like I don't know how big alligators are. I was thinking alligators would be like at max 200. So like if you put two of them, that's still like two separate 200-pound bodies versus one massive chunk of like dense animal muscle that is a gorilla.
I'm
going to be like proven wrong and like alligators are actually like half a ton and I'm
no
like,
alligators are big creatures.
They're I know like, they can be like super long.
Yeah.
But if they're light enough, I could try and swim out of there maybe.
Like I feel like they can get as long as this room. Like
this
way.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the weight is where it gets tricky. But I still think, I mean, you know, they eat everything. So
we're not, I mean, honestly, if we're faced with this situation, something is not going well in our life in general.
Yeah. If you end up in any kind of scenario where you have to wrestle a gorilla or an alligator, you made choices earlier that day that probably it's just, oh, the average male alligator is 500 pounds.
Oh no.
That's fucked.
Hold on. All right.
And the average female is 200 pounds.
All right. So. Hold on. So if we go back to that, I might have to switch to the gorilla and I could try to convince the gorilla that I am just a baby ape, perhaps, and it would actually take care of me.
True. Okay. All right. Let's see here. Average male alligator is anywhere from 10 to 15 feet long. And anywhere from 500 to 600 pounds.
My God.
Wow. Okay. So,
alligators ain't nothing to fuck with.
Yeah. Fuck alligators. That's why I'm not going to Florida. Fuck around with my family.
Like, I feel like there's a lot more reasons not to go to Florida.
Yeah. There's a lot of them, but those alligators, they're high on that list. I'm always like, let's go to Disney World. I was like, well, I got Disney Plus. I don't got a rush. Like, what are we doing?
You take a virtual tour. You're like, yeah. We got Disney at home.
Well, I follow Disney on TikTok. Like, there's someone at Disney, and they just walk around with their phone and live stream being at Disney.
Oh, so you do have Disney at home? So you're like, here, take this iPad. We got Disney at home. It's the same thing.
And I'd let my daughter watch it. Sometimes, like, here, shut the hell up.
Like, which room do you want to see? All right, let me scroll to that real quick.
Go to Epcot. Here, there you go. Like, go to Epcot. Oh, cool. What are they doing? I don't know.
He's waiting in a line.
He's waiting. Is he gonna get on the teacups? No. Yeah. He's gonna sit there and let it spin around. You can watch it.
It's fucking weird, but no plans for those are the plans for us, but as we get closer, I'm just gonna change. Like, yo, you know, we can go this place. Like, you need a passport for that. Yeah, but you know, I don't want to.
Well, I mean, there's not gonna be alligators in Disney World, are there?
There could be. That there have been stories. And I don't want to be part of those stories.
Yeah, I have heard.
And I do dumb things. And when I say I do dumb things, like, I don't pay attention to half the shit I'm doing. So I know I'm high on the alligator eat list because I'm going to not be paying attention to what I'm doing, and I will step somewhere and get chomped. And I just don't see any winning scenario for me in that situation. So I don't fuck with alligators.
Part of Disneyland. you gotta weigh the experience. You gotta be like, man, this is so ow, my leg.
I mean, maybe it's like, I guess as the alligators eat me, I'm like, well, at least I got to see Disney World. Like, on my way out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, that's some shit my kid will say. Like, at least I got to Disney. It's like,
I said thanks. Yeah, that's what I was aiming for, honestly.
Like, you're 7. There's so much more. Like, I'm like in my 40s. Like there's so much more, and alligator's not a part of that so much more.
Oh yeah, you get to see an alligator up close and live. Like, oh my god, there's not many people that get to experience that.
Like, well, alligator hunters, like, you know, people who make belts.
But how many people get to see the teeth? How many people get to feel the teeth?
Dude, I want to go on the internet and buy like a necklace with alligator teeth. But then it's like, are they really alligator teeth? Because I would be excited to have that.
I got no idea.
Because that's kind of twisted and morbid to want, but I really hate alligators.
I mean, essentially, that's showing them trophies of their cousins and such. You're like, hey, this is what is left of your cousin.
Yeah.
Could be you.
That's what I do when I kill, like, spiders in a house. Well, I was like, you're going to clean it up? I was like, no, I'm leaving that there so the others know not to fuck with me.
Like, it's the, what's it called? It's the head on the spike. So yeah. You're like, let them know.
It's like, oh my god, there's Lance. Not anymore. That's parts of Lance. The other parts of them are on the bottom of my shoe. So, fuck those spiders. Like, down here, like, we run into, like, house centipedes. And my wife's like, oh, they eat other bugs. I'm like, well, don't spiders eat other bugs? She's like, yeah. I was like, well, we don't eat two of them.
Like, so we can only handle one enemy at a time.
Yeah, like one or the other. I think the house centipedes, they blend in with this carpet. So,
oh, that ain't now.
Like, I don't, like, she was like, they're harmless. Probably. But they crawl. And they got, like, a bunch of legs. And I don't fuck with that. And then they saw a snake outside the other day.
Wow, in this way, that's crazy.
So now I'm like, one of my fears, and I didn't realize this was a fear until the other day, is a snake in my toilet.
Oh,
that is an overwhelming fear now. So every time I come down here to go to the bathroom, I kick the seat up kind of from a distance because I just fear that I got to pee really bad. I'm like, you know, you're doing like the pee dance and you flip the seat up and you whip it out and then a snake comes up and it's like, could I at least piss, dude?
Here's the thing, though, like, not to like jinx you on that. Oh. But it almost seems like you half wish that a snake does appear in your toilet so that you feel vindicated about it, because then you're like, I did this and it was real.
So that is partially true, though, because there are times when, like, I say some shit and people are like, that's not real. That will never happen. And then when it does happen, I can say, don't ever fucking doubt me again.
Yeah, you say, well, guess what? It just did.
So now I don't want that snake to get me, though. So I want the snake to show up on a Friday night when we're doing our Clompton Beer Club episodes. And when one of the other hosts are in there, just let this shit happen to know. It's all
like,
right.
Hey, go check that toilet just because.
Like, it was like, y'all earned it. Like, I don't fuck with basements. Basements are inherently creepy to me anyway. Like,
yeah, it gets darker underground. Everything somehow gets like a little more evil, a little more sinister.
That's why, like, I have to have the TV on. Because if the TV's not on, I feel like, you know, it's like, nah, something.
Like a trapped little dungeon or something?
Yeah, it's like a weird, like, if the TV's on, there's like activity. It's like, okay, ghosts don't fuck around with TVs. Like, I mean, of course, maybe you haven't seen Poltergeist. Maybe.
I haven't watched enough horror, so if you're telling me this is the guy, just leave a TV on.
I mean, that's what I do. I don't go to sleep with the TV on. Usually there are horror movies on that TV when I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, but that sounds like a terrible, terrible recipe. That seems like an invitation. You're like, hey, listen, you guys are welcome because I got your boys on my screen. You guys, you know, the more the merrier.
Well, there's some, because, you know, TikTok, everything on TikTok is true. There's some shit I was reading, and, it, you know, it's like one of my horror accounts, you know, like, ways, like, don't do these things if you don't want to invite a spirit into your home or some bullshit like that. So I'm reading, I was like, oh my God, I don't do any of those things. Mind you, it's like 2 a.m. It's like pitch black in my room. And I was just like,
nice, good setting.
So then I got to turn like shit back on. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll go to sleep at 4 now. Like, I got to calm myself down. Or like break-in video, like home invasion videos.
No, that one's super actually scary. Because yeah. I think that one's a little more likely than a spirit coming through.
Yes, I agree. Well, if you ask my wife, she's like, no, this house isn't haunted. Then why that cabinet keep opening up by itself? It's like, oh, you know.
It's just a cabinet spirit.
Like, yeah. they you know, the ghost just keeps forgetting to fucking close the medicine cabinet, and there ain't nothing in there. Probably, you know, ghost toothpaste. I don't know. Like, home invasion horror scares me the most because it's some shit.
Every creek is something.
It could happen. So when I'm looking at those videos on TikTok, I go downstairs. It never fails. Check the windows. Make sure, like.
Oh, no. Yeah. You check the windows. You check the door. You check, like, you start checking around the corner of your own house and you're like, there was a creek. Someone is in here.
So my neighbors are loud. They're night owls. And they move up and down, and they have dogs that run up and down the stairs. So I'll be sitting in my room, and I'll hear footsteps. And I'm like, okay. I assume it's the neighbors at 12:30 a.m.
Okay, yeah, that one's not too bad.
But and it settles down about 1 o'clock. Okay. After 1, I don't hear anything, so I know it's the neighbors. But every so often, it fucks with me because I don't fuck with attics either. And we haven't been in that attic since God knows when.
I mean, attics are just higher basements.
Yeah, basically. And like, at least down here, it's like we have lights up there. I think the attic light is attached to our bedroom light. So in order to turn on the light in the attic, the bedroom light has to be on.
Okay.
And it's super fucking weird. I'm just like, you know what? God, fuck all these things. Yo. Like, quit being creepy. Why do we have creepy shit? It's like, you know, the Blair Witch, like it's not real, but watching that movie kind of convinces you otherwise. Like, oh, in Maryland, oh, yay,
just plants the seed just enough that you're like, man, if there's even a 1% chance,
and that's all it takes. If it's not zero, and you know, this is coming from a dude that you know, I watch horror movies on the regular. Like, I watch that shit like it's,
yeah, that one, I don't know. I feel like at first it was an attempt at like immersive therapy, but then you went the other way and you're like, no, this shit could happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, the only things that really fuck with me when it comes to, you know, the horror movies is Home Invasion. All the other shit's just like, oh, that's silly. But Home Invasion is like, fuck that. What? No, nope, nope, nope. Like, especially when you watch a movie, you know, and someone lives out in the woods by themselves. Like, no one nearby. They just live by themselves in the woods. Yeah. It's like, what could go wrong?
Nothing. Never.
You know, and then all of a sudden, oh, let's not forget she's deaf. The person is deaf also. And she lives in the woods by herself. This is actually a movie called Hush. It's fucking bonkers.
Oh, God.
But either way, it's one of my favorites, though. I love it. Oh, like, I watch it at least every other month. That and The Strangers. Because The Strangers, like, they try to sell you at the beginning, this is based on a true story. It's not. It's not based on it. But all my friends kept trying to tell me, no, it's based on real stuff.
Sounds like that might be manifesting. But like, someone's got to make this into a real story. It's like, wait, what?
The thing about that movie, I think the scariest part about the movie is that, like, when it opens, you see a couple and they're going to a cabin. And they seem very, like, just, like, not happy. And, you know, they start doing kind of flashbacks of what happened over the night. And it turns out he proposed to her and she said no.
Oh, that's awkward.
And now they got to go back to this cabin. I was like, dude, that's the fucking nightmare of the movie. Like, she said no, and now y'all have this cabin booked that, you know, it's like, well, what do we do now? Like, well, let's go to this cabin. Oh, and by the way, three crazy people are just going to knock on the door at 2 a.m. and say, hey, is Tamara here? And chaos ensues. So, yeah, that's pretty much my rant on horror movies and home invasions. But, yeah, I think we're good. So, Chris, thank you for doing this. Before we get out of here, do you have any shout-outs or mentions that you'd like to throw out there for us?
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. I think I got the whole podcast experience. This is really a very cool setup. And I got to see, I don't remember if you actually put a label to it, the Dante Cave, the Wiki Lair.
I don't know what the fuck this is.
But yeah, very cool setup. You know, hearing you describe it is one thing, but then obviously seeing it is very, very cool.
Thank you.
But yeah, and then obviously big shout out to everybody at 88. That's essentially why I'm here right now. And then also shout out to my sponsor, Gaidama. They've sent me a whole bunch of gear. It's really, really nice. They're coming up, and I'm very excited to work with them.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll be sure to put them in the notes. And I've been seeing them pop up a lot more on my feed. I think my phone maybe heard you say it once. And then my phone's like, we got you covered. And now I'm just like, okay.
Don't worry, Dante. We heard about this from someone.
There was something that was said the other day. And now I keep seeing commercials on
That's Prime. The future. Yeah. So. Someone's going to say something in the background. It's going to be real wild, though. Like, they're going to start, I feel like they're going to start planting shit. It's going to be like, assassinate the president. And you're going to be like, hey, why is this popping up in my phone?
It was Arby's. We had mentioned Arby's.
Okay, that was not as scary. And I mean, that's actually kind of scary a little bit.
Yeah, it's Arby's. I don't fuck with Arby's.
Like, I've literally heard that no one does. That's actually the scary part to me, that they're still in business. But I've never heard anyone say, like, you know what? We need Arby's.
I see people every time I see. First off, Arby's are only really located around truck stops. That's already a red flag. And in second, the people that I see in Arby's definitely look like, you know, they've kidnapped some people. So I'm just like, I don't know. Fuck with Arby's. But after we talked about that, I kept getting Arby's commercials on my TV.
Oh, you're about to get a lot more.
Yeah. Like, Arby's is like, yo, we going to sell it to this dude. I'm like, fuck y'all. But either way, note to everybody, don't eat at Arby's. Fucking food is gross.
Jesus.
No, it's just terrible. I want to give a big shout out to my friends over there at Nerd Rage Radio, Bobby, Chris, Joe, Marilyn Phil, Ricky Tiki, Chucky O. Who else? There's so many of y'all, but shout out to them. Without Nerd Rage Radio, I would not have started podcasting. So if y'all really, really, you know, dig this show, thank them. If you don't dig it, then why are you listening this far? That's you know, a legit question. But thank you all the same to Nerd Rage Radio. I also want to give a shout out to my other podcast, So You Like Horror. As you may have just heard, I watch horror movies all the time. I go to sleep to them. It's kind of creepy, a little bit weird. I have trauma. It's fine. That's how I work through it. But also, if you like scary movies and hearing about the history of certain things, like, you know, the decades of different, or the decades of horror, for, you know, for instance, or even cursed films, because that's what we're working on now. This year's theme is cursed films. So if you know about movies that have like a supposed curse behind it, like The Omen or Poltergeist or The Crow or The Serpent in the Rainbow, The Exorcist, things like that, we're going to be addressing those things in some of the episodes. In those episodes, we'll be strictly talking about the curse, not like the movie itself. We're not doing like a full breakdown of, you know, The Omen or The Exorcist. We've done that already. But if you're into that kind of stuff, go check it out. So You Like Horror on Instagram. You can find it there. All the words separated by underscores. So yeah. And last but not least, I want to give a big shout out to my guest here, Chris Tran, black belt over at Crazy 88 MMA. That's where we train at. So thank you again to Chris, and thank you to, you know, everybody over at 88. You know, like I told Mark, I was like, I'm going to be recording with Chris tomorrow. He was like, I'm surprised you haven't recorded with him yet. And I was like, well, you know, you have to keep in mind, though, too, a lot of this, I wasn't telling people I was doing a podcast. I was very, very quiet about it. And I was not in the best like headspace to like talk to teammates and coaches. Was like, hey, you guys want to be on my podcast? So now I've started opening. I was like, hey, you know, because I've had some people say, hey, I listen to your podcast. I was like, oh shit, you know, like, don't do that. That's a terrible idea. But you know, I've had positive, you know, interactions about it with people, you know, over 88. So that made me feel like, you know what? Now I feel more comfortable reaching out to people and saying, hey, I want you to come on. Let's talk about jiu-jitsu. Let's talk about like ducks and elephants. Let's talk about action figures and comic books, you know, whatever it may be. But thank you for making the time, and thank you to the team just for being supportive. So I appreciate all of y'all. And as always, I love you guys. Y'all got any questions, concerns, criticisms, reach out. You can find me bjj.wiki on Instagram or Off the Mats Podcast, also on Instagram, or you can email me. But besides that, thanks. You guys keep listening, and we're going to definitely keep making these shows. Thank you, everybody, and ciao.
Deep with it. Now let me sing a song.